Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
All right, I'm going to read some scripture this morning to kind of start things out. My heart has been heavy all week, and this past Friday when we were in the house of prayer, we had a team on Friday morning, and we were just worshiping and praying for our nation and praying for the things that have transpired, and my heart got so heavy. And in the midst of that, I really was desiring and asking for the Lord's heart in this situation. Not my heart, not someone else's heart, but His heart. What is your heart? What are you feeling right now with what you see happening all over the world, but specifically in our nation? What do you feel? And I began to have this compassion, and I just started feeling the hurt of His heart. But yet, I also began to feel the hope that I found in Him and the hope that we have in Him. And so this morning, I'm going to read a scripture because I'm so amazed sometimes of things that I hear, especially even from friends and friends on Facebook and hearing the things that are being said. And some of them are really good. Some of them are just so lacking of truth. And I want this morning, as a believer, how do I respond as a believer? How do I pray as a believer? Where do I take a stand? And of course, I take a stand in the word of the Lord. I take that stand right there in what He says always. I shared with the worship team as we were coming out, you know, just to pray. And I said that even in the day that Jesus was here on the earth, that those were some of the most horrific times of people against people, of racism. To the Jews and the Christians, it was terrible. And Jesus spoke these words then, and Jesus speaks these words today. And so my position is to respond as the Word of God says to respond. And if there's anything in my heart that's not like that, I ask God to come. I'm amazed sometimes of how many times we sit in church and we receive so many different messages and hear so many good things about God's word, and we know that it's truth and we begin to apply it to our lives, but yet soon as something starts shaking, all of a sudden we're on the bandwagon of fear and offense instead of love and hope and prayer, because intercession is so necessary. And the reason I'm adamant this morning to talk a little bit about that is because of the fact that I'm not a doom and gloomer at all. But I know shaking is coming to our nation more and more and more. I don't know how it's coming completely. I have no idea. But I know that it is. I know that the scripture is correct about what's going to happen on the globe in the days and the last generation of the return of the Lord Jesus. And so my job as a position that I'm in is to be a messenger and to try to point people continuously to Him, because I am not the answer. He is the answer. And I guess when I would look at things on Facebook, one friend really wrote something really beautiful about being a voice and standing in truth. And I agreed completely and absolutely. But then they left out Jesus all through it. And I was like, you need to point, you know, and say, well, that's Facebook. I don't want to offend anybody. Give me a stinking break. This is the time to stand and speak truth. This is who we are as a believer. As a believer, I cannot be ripped by my emotions. I've got to be saturated with His word, saturated with the Holy Spirit saying, come on, have your way. Do what you need to do. Let me speak your heart. And if I mess up, then I repent and I come back and He's right there with me saying, keep going, keep going. It's okay. He knows that we would mess up. He knows what He was getting when He got you. Okay? Your mess, He is not surprised about your mess or mine, because I got a mess going on too, okay? But I have him. And so my prayer is that's why I wanted to pray today. And I told the team and to get up and let's intercede, let's pray, let's believe, let's know that God is in control always, always. Janet warned me. She said, I've already been to church once today. I don't know if you want me to pray or not. And I said, no, I want you to pray. Because the people need to hear our hearts. So listen to this. Listen to this in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be going there. The scripture that I gave to you, Caleb, I'm going to read something else first. So I know you're probably like, where's he at? What's he doing? Okay, but I wanted to read something else first. Because Romans chapter 12 is this. It's almost like Paul is bringing it all together. In the first 11 chapters, Paul is speaking about grace. He's speaking about mercy, mercy, mercy. And then he starts speaking to us about how to walk that out and how to apply it within our lives. But I want to just read this to you, starting with Romans chapter 12. You can start with verse 9. And listen to this truth. Listen, as a believer, this is how I am to respond. As a believer, I'm to respond according to the word of the Lord. And if it's not there, then I pray, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do to get me there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's a whole message right there. We could just stay right there, meditate on that. And then it goes on to say, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. And again, I understand there are some wrong things, and it's happening all over the earth. I want to stop there just for a second, because I wanted to grab some statistics, because I was thinking, okay, what's happening in Syria? Well, somebody say, well, man, come on. We're talking about America, not Syria. But no, I want to know what's happening on the earth and the globe. So I look for some statistics. And this year, 25,000 people have been killed in Syria because of a civil war. A civil war. 18,800 were killed in Iraq in the last 2 years by ISIS. 170,000 have died, mostly Christians and Shiites, by ISIS. And so this death toll, these things are happening all over the earth. And we have to trust in God's word. We have to stay in God's word. It says in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Not just every once in a while. We're going to be a people devoted to praying. That's why the house of prayer is so important. Verse 13, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Don't be prideful and arrogant in your thinking. But associate with all, lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Don't be wise. Don't think you got it together. God's got it together. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect, respect, respect what is right in the sight of all men and women. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men and women. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And verse 21 kind of summarizes the whole chapter, and it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is powerful. That's the word of the Lord. And so I want to share from my heart just a couple moments before I go into the scripture that I want to share. As individuals, as people, we all get stuck sometimes in what we're living in our own agendas, in our own ways, our own tendencies. And each and every one of us are weak and broken folks. And so I'm reading from what I wrote because I don't want to miss a thing. And all of us deal with pain in different ways. And every one of us have our own struggles. But when tragic things happen in our society, it pulls us out of this little bubble that we've been looking at. And all of a sudden, out of this little bubble, we see that there's a bigger storyline. There's a bigger picture to everything going on. It affects our families, right? It affects our loved ones. And then I took time, like I said, to view social media and see what was going on. And I was overwhelmed by the lack of truth and what's being said. I put the question to myself, if I call myself a believer, if you call yourself a believer, it's a challenging time. Not to say that it might even increase. People have died over the last week. It's all over the news and the media. And we need to speak out on behalf of them. We need to speak out on behalf of injustice and unrighteousness, because God is just and God is righteous. But you have to ask yourself the question, do you really trust God in the midst of this? And this statement, I don't want to make this as a blanket statement, but I want to make this statement. We are trying to run a country without God. And we're going to see all kinds of problems because we're trying to run a country without God. Whether it's Republicans, Democrats, it does not matter. We're trying to run it without God, and God is going to be our only hope. God is our hope. And if we don't stay strong and press in, we cannot let hatred and the enemy's ways to overwhelm us and take us out of what we know is truth. And so the one truth is we're trying to run a country without God. And we've backed ourselves into that corner. But there are men and women all over the nation like you that are praying and believing that God is going to move things. And it seems to be like in the midst of a trial is when God begins to shake things and shake us up and we begin to press in. Every form of racism is of the devil. It is of the devil. And we need to understand that. And we need not anything come out of our mouths. We need to speak life and not death. Hope and not fear. What about my situation? What about this situation? Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Everything's crazy. Then the voice of the one who trusts in the Lord steps up and says, I understand it's crazy, but my trust is in him and him alone. See, we just got through talking about praise and worship in the midst of all of the life of Israel, and every time Israel had praise and worship and prayer going up to the throne of God, they were victorious spiritually and militarily. But soon as they pulled that back and there was a heathen king or whatever happened, and no longer was praise and worship and honoring the worthiness of our God, Yahweh, Jesus, then everything was defeated. And so even when I was standing up here, I called Josh Eaton and talked to him a little bit because he's from Texas. And I said, when I was standing up here on Friday and I was worshiping, I was thinking, you know, I got involved with Crisis Response International of things to do in the midst of a crisis. But I started thinking about, you know what is the most powerful thing that could happen if we believe is to take singers, musicians, and intercessors down to a location and begin to worship and cry out for God to move in the midst of that city. And I said, that's exactly what would happen in the Bible. And most people would mock that. They would laugh at that. And they would say, what are you doing? You're not solving anything. Because they don't see in the unseen. They don't understand what moves the heart of God because they don't understand the word. And I will say, I think it's deplorable the things that have happened and have happened for years and years and years. But I'm telling you, God has a plan that's much bigger and better than anything we could try to figure out. And we got to trust him. We got to believe. We can't be manipulated. There's seven people that died last week who should be here today. Who should be here today. Seven folks died last week that should be here today, and they're not. They're not here. If you don't stand for what's right in the Word as a believer, if you don't stand for that truth, and you shout another message, it's hypocritical. It's not the heart of God. Do I believe justice needs to go forth in truth? Absolutely. Do I believe people need to be held accountable? Absolutely. But I will always say, and I will always point people to Jesus, because I know that I know that I know that Jesus is the answer. I know that. I grew up in fear. I grew up in fear. And I had a lot of fear all my life as a child. I had a lot of fear what I saw happening in our community, because terrible things happened in the 60s. And I remember living in Gary, Indiana, and growing up. And I remember things that happened in my life, but I'm not going to go into that story because, you know, I have a real dear friend, many dear friends, and Larry Reese shared with me what he went through as a black man growing up. And it crushed my heart, and he told me some stories. I said, I can't believe that. And it crushed me. And I don't have much of, I can't talk much about that because I haven't experienced it, except the little bit that I did was when I was one of the last white guys in a high school in Gary, Indiana, and I got beat up because I was white. That's exactly what happened. So I felt a little bit of that, but I've never had that in my heart, racism at all. Matter of fact, I guess the fear or the Lord drove me to being part of, I told you this a million times, about a gang called the Mixed Breed in Gary, and it was black, whites, and Latinos. And even then, God was teaching the doctrine of unity in my life in the natural, because that was his heart. That was his heart. Racism knows no color. I'll tell you straight up. Sometimes it comes out in that. But I think that's why I was able to go a couple weeks to Rwanda and see the terrible things that happened, the atrocities that happened through hatred and racism of two different tribes. And you know, it's hard to grasp that whole atrocity because 10,000, Rwanda is a small country. 10,000 people died every day for 100 days. That's the statistic. 10,000 people. The enemy had his way in that nation. Friends, they played together. They grew up together. They lived next to each other in homes. I've heard all the stories and testimonies. And then all of a sudden, one day, things get so dark and the sky turns this a luminous, weird-looking green, and the next day it was called out that friends now were taking whole families' lives because the call went out between Tutsis and Hutus. Is that crazy? But that's the enemy. See, the enemy doesn't want you to grab hold of that word that I just shared. The enemy wants you to fail, wants you to be disturbed, wants you to be offended, wants you to show hatred. He doesn't want you to have hope. And I'm telling you, God is a God of hope. He will always be a God of hope and mercy, and we will never pull back away from that. My job is to point you toward him and say, trust in him. Know that the answer is found in him. I don't care what everybody else is telling you. Find the answer in Jesus. Find the answer. If you have a child and you're worried about that child's life and his future, then live for Jesus with everything you have. Commit that child onto the ways of God and believe and trust to know that God's hand is going to be upon them. Because you live it, you walk it. Don't let the media form you. Let the Word of God form you. Let the Word of God form you. Jesus values every life, every life. Jesus values every life. When there's bad in everything, okay? There's bad in everything. Doesn't take long, you'll find someone. And remember this, I don't care if it's a doctor, police officer, teacher, there's bad in everything. But they do not deserve the rap for the bad ones, because there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good in this room right now because we've said yes to him. And so that's my little soapbox, not soapbox, but I guess heart box. I'll say that. That's my heart box. That's what my heart feels right now. And I was trying to measure my words carefully because I wanted it to be what he was saying. Well, I've taken you down to 10 minutes left, and I'm going to give you a two-hour sermon in 10 minutes. Well, maybe not. I'll just point you in a direction. Turn your scripture back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the reason that I want to hit this just quickly is because of the fact that this is a well-known verse. Everybody knows it. You've heard tons of sermons on it. You've probably read it tons of times. But there's five truths in this that we need to walk out within our lives. And it will equip us to the transforming grace that God will give us if we will meditate upon this and embrace this scripture. Paul is basically talking about overcoming. In the scripture, he's talking about overcoming despair, fear, worry, everything. How do you overcome? And we're going to read this. I'll probably read it a couple times. Remember, this is truth. So here's Satan's deal. He wants to obscure this truth from you and keep you from reading it, meditating on it, and getting it, and responding in this truth. Oh, I know that scripture. No, you don't. You might know a little bit. I know a little bit, but there is so much in that scripture that goes on and on. There are truths in that scripture that will help you every day of your life. It says, and Paul says, I beseech you. I'll read through it quick one time, and then we'll break it down. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you may be able to walk in the perfect will of God for your life. And so the Apostle Paul, quickly, he just got through in the first 11 chapters telling people about mercy, telling people about grace, training them up, pointing them in that direction, and then he starts this, I beseech you, please, he's saying, don't let this word pass by. Don't just drop this. Get this. I beseech you. I'm crying out. This is important. Pay close attention to this. And he says, therefore, meaning what I just got through teaching in the last 11, therefore, brethren, men and women, by the mercies of God, which is in the first 11 chapters, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That has everything to do with dying to self and coming alive. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer me. It has everything to do with that. And see, if we're not continually asking the Lord to help us to die to our flesh and be alive by the Spirit, then we're going to complicate everything. Our soul is going to reap havoc on our lives. A sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And what's holy and acceptable? Meaning pleasing, that I would please God with my life, which is your reasonable service. Okay, that's just kind of a logical response. And do not be, here's the biggie in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this culture. Do not be conformed to the way the world dictates to you how you're supposed to live and be. Do not be conformed. This world, weren't we singing, this world has nothing for me? Okay, you got to get that. You got to live in the Word. You got to trust in the Lord. We all work. We all have to. But the fact is that we live differently as Christians. We live not in our own will, but his will. We live in a kingdom culture and not a worldly, demonic culture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the will of God for your life? The will of God plainly states in this scripture is his destiny and his purpose for your life. Whatever that may be, that you would be able to walk in it, that you'd be able to flow in it. And the enemy wants you hopeless, and he wants you failing, and he wants you falling, but the Lord does not. He wants you to be empowered. And I believe that if you would get this, meditate on these two verses, that and let's ask the Holy Spirit to help you, that you would be empowered to walk in your destiny. God's calling, his will for your life. And I just want to give a quick synopsis of that, because I want to help some of you in this one. Everybody thinks if I have a big church, if I, you know, when I lead somebody to Jesus, there's a healing that takes place. I have this moment where I really do this high level spiritual thing. Man, I've made it. I've done it. That's good. That's not talking about that. That's talking about everyday life that you have. It's talking, and this is what messes with Christians so much. The enemy beats you up because you're not doing this or you haven't done that. But if I could just get this, if I could have this big conference and it would rock the region, then, man, I got value. No, you don't. No, you don't. You might have been part of something that rocked the region. Your value comes in your everyday mundane life. Your value and your rewards come from how you take care of your children, what you say to them. Your value comes from a cool cup of water, hospitality. You did something. You know what? Every one of us is going to be so massively surprised. I have no doubt in my mind about this, that when we get to heaven, that Jesus is going to bring up things that we did, and you're going to go, what? I don't remember that. No, don't you remember when you did this to that woman and you blessed her and you helped that family? Do you remember when that dog was going to die and you did something to help that dog and my creation? I'm serious. Every little thing he's going to bring up and say, how about this? How about that? So I want to just like sweep the slate clean. If I'm up on the platform preaching, then I'm somebody. No, those things are good. Don't get me wrong. If I lead worship this certain way, now it's really happening, man. I'm important in the kingdom. You're important in the kingdom, what you do when no one else is looking. So raising a child or helping someone, that's the kingdom stuff that really matters. That's when you're a living holy sacrifice. You laid your life down to help somebody else, to do something. A cup of cool water in Jesus' name. I just had to get that out of the way because that bothers me. Because I see that all the time, that if I do this, then I've arrived. No, you haven't. you need to have more forbearance now and grace and mercy to love people because they're going to say, man, he stunk. You know what I'm saying? Man, did you get anything out of that? You know, I'm out of here, you know. I'm serious. And so then you got to have really grace because you got to love them. And then all of a sudden it circles back to you and say, yeah, yeah, you know, and people say things about you. That's all part of this, dying to yourself and beginning to move by the Holy Spirit. God wants you smart. He wants you to protect your family. No doubt. But we do it according to his word. We do it according to what he's saying. Have you heard him speak lately? Has he spoken to you through the revelation of his word lately? If you don't have a diet of the word, then you're not going to respond. Because the word is living and active and what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. So you can't cut through the mustard on this stuff. You can't do it unless you have the word active in your life, shining light on the perspective, like in Romans 12, 9 through 21. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. God wants us to live in peace. He wants us to live in his authority. He wants us to live in hope. Oh, gosh. In Ephesians 2:10, I'll just read this scripture because I love it. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What a statement. What a statement. We're his workmanship. And it all has to do with that we would reflect whose image? His. His image. That we reflect it wherever we are. And the only way we can do that is to cry out to him and to humble ourselves, to live in a place of purity. God's not disappointed with you. Matter of fact, most people get burned out. You know why they get burned out? Because they think God's disappointed with them, and they think other people are disappointed, and the people just won't do what I think God's telling them to do, and then they get burned out. You never get burned out if you stay active in God's word. And you might get tired and weary, don't get me wrong, but you burn out? Uh-uh. Uh-uh. Because he'll refresh you. And I've been guilty. I'm burned out, you know. God said, no, you're not. Silly little boy. Straighten me up. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice. And I'll just kind of wind things up by saying, committing to die to your fleshy purpose and committing to live for the purpose that God has for you. That's what that says. Present your body as a living. Committing to die to your fleshy purpose. Remember, 2 Samuel, it says, I will not offer up offerings to the Lord which do not cost me something. I'm laying it down. You know about the widow. And then I love Matthew 10:42. It says, whoever gives only a cup of cold water, he shall by no means lose his reward before the Lord. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints, Hebrews 6:10. Small moves, small moves the heart of God. No one sees it, but he does. Set your heart to love. In that, if you want to write this down, you can, because I'm going to close here. The five truths is basically be holy, set apart. That's what that means, holy before the Lord. Acceptable, the second one is truth. Be acceptable and pleasing, walk in the truth. Acceptable and pleasing, good, you know, he leads us in a good way, in a good path. Ask for his good path over your life, you know, his kindness, that you're pleasing, you know, that God's plan satisfies who you are, not the world's, basically is what I'm saying. Perfect. Jesus's leadership is perfect, and it cannot be improved. And so he's going to lead you. And the more that you're like him and reflect him, things are going to happen. The last verse I'm going to share is Romans 12:2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's value of who you are. Don't be conformed by this culture. You're not losing when you trust Jesus. You're not losing. Amen? Amen. In your engage, there's just something real beautiful. And I didn't get into the fear and the peace aspect of things, but I'm going to just pray that all of us enjoy Jesus and begin to walk in peace. But this past Wednesday night, our team was in here Wednesday night and ministering. And Josh Petrillo usually sits back there, and he writes and he hears from the Lord a lot and writes things. And if you'll look in your engage, we might have it on the screen too, I don't know, but it's called Finding Peace. And he read this to us after we were done when he wrote this in that time of just sitting in the prayer room and seeking the Lord. And I found it to be just massively awesome. And I want you to, I'm going to close with that. Would you mind coming up, Eric, and just play a little bit? And we're going to pray, but I want to close with this and just read this, and then I want to pray for everybody. When we think of peace, we often think of the absence of conflict, whether it is in the Middle East or in our living room. Most people want things to be peaceful, free of drama, violence, profanity, and strife. The only way the world knows how to bring peace is to remove conflict. The truth is that's impossible because there's always conflict somewhere, even in our hearts. Humanity, because of our sin nature, is never fully at peace or absent from conflict. The other reality is removing conflict is not how Jesus brings peace. He can bring peace right in the middle of conflict. I love that line. This is why men like Peter or Paul could be at peace in a nasty jail cell. Why Stephen could see the Lord in a place of peace while being stoned to death. Why martyrs could sing and praise God while being burned at the stake or tortured. Peace can be found when we rest in him and find our identity in him. This is why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. He guides us into places of rest and peace where we are fully trusting in the power of Christ to sustain us, protect us, and fill us. The Holy Spirit guides us and shows us the beauty of life at peace in Christ. Life is like a big woven tapestry. When seen from the back, it's a tangled chaos. What the Holy Spirit does is to bring us to the front of the tapestry and show us the beauty and order of the finished design. So in the middle of what we perceive as chaos or conflict or craziness, we have a different vision when we look through the eyes of Christ. It causes us to change our perception and thus our actions. Mother Teresa put it like this. Jesus is saying, you don't need to change to believe in my love. It is the belief in my love that will change you. Let us strive to be people who can be at peace in the midst of conflict and who can share that peace with those around us. Would you stand? Thank you, Josh. Just want to pray for a moment. Just want to take this time. If there's anyone that needs to be prayed over today, I just want to speak these things over those that are in need. I just want to pray that today that we would begin to enjoy Jesus in the journey, living not in fear but in peace. Lord, we come before you to line up with your holy word. Many of us in this room have been attacked by the enemy, even in our bodies, sickness, personal things, and families need a touch. Lord, I ask that today that you would touch everyone in need here today. And I want to pray, and I want to challenge them to pray these truths over their lives daily. Lord, I want to pray that we would set our lives apart, everyone in this room. That we would know that you've called us to walk in this place of even the smallest amount of obedience. To be holy. Lord, I pray that we would be acceptable, pleasing to you. That there's joy and strength in believing and laying our lives down. That we would not live in despair. Lord, I pray for the good to happen on my brothers and my sisters. That the goodness of God would overwhelm them. That all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Let that take place today, God. That your kindness would overwhelm them. That they have a great future in you as they trust in you. Lord, I ask that every person here would walk in the plan that you have for them in destiny, that that is what's going to satisfy them and be pleasing. The sweetness of your presence, God, doing your will even in the midst of difficult times. And Jesus, your leadership, it cannot be improved. It's overwhelming and beautiful. So God, I ask that you would help us to say yes, even when circumstances are hard, that we allow your perfect leadership over our lives. May we not be conformed to this world. So Lord, I just pray even right now that decisions are being made, that hearts are being healed. Just ask for your touch, God, through the Holy Spirit. That we don't walk out these doors empty. But we feel your direction, your heart. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Have your way with us. Thank you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Strengthen my brothers and my sisters here today. My friends, my family. Strengthen them. We're all called to be your family, God. May we stand up with a voice that speaks about your truth. May we live in the place of hope. And may the enemy not have his way. We choose life. We choose to trust in you today. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. God bless you. Go in truth. I hope this morning helped you to just calibrate your heart a little bit. And then ask the Holy Spirit to do the rest and the Word of God to add on top of that. Okay? respond the way God wants you to respond through His Word, through the heart of love. We are all called to be a family. Jesus has no different value for anyone. This Jewish guy, I don't know how tall he is, but he loves us all. Okay, go in peace and may the Lord be with you today. And live in hope. Don't live in discouragement. And greet somebody, please, on the way out, will you? You guys are pretty good folks to talk to. All right, have a good day in Jesus' name.